So that was the theme for this particular challenge year, 2014, was restored. It was the idea of restoring things that are broken in the lives of our students, restoring things that are broken and not fully working as they should. And then taking that and moving beyond just restoring, but telling the story and living the story in our lives so that they might be able to help others be restored and rescued to Christ. Now, I'm not going to possibly be able to recreate challenge in a period of time. And for that matter, we did a super high flyover of the entire Bible in 4 days. And as you can tell, from creation all the way to rescue and Christ. But what I want to do is, we decided today, rather than putting the students in a position where they would stand with a microphone in front of you and go, yeah. And so we brought the couch from the youth room, the infamous orange couch, and we decided we would take some time. Every time we got done with a particular speaker, we would go into what was called huddle time. It was a time that was just for us. It was a time that they had an opportunity to be as vulnerable as they felt they needed to be, or as quiet as they wanted to be, for that matter. And in that time, they were able to share some of the things that they got from the message. So what I'd like you to do, if you would give me the privilege to do this, this is so not like a normal sermon would be, but this is an opportunity for them to testify and to share with you a little bit about what happened to them while they were there from a less daunting position, and an opportunity to be with you and testify to that. So let's look at the first part. If you guys have your books with you, or if you can remember, we're going to start with creation. We're going to spend about 10, 15 minutes in this just to give them an opportunity to share. They'll pass the mic around. Make sure that you show Brian back there what mic you're using just so he knows, and that way we can hear from you. So creation. Creation started out with some really cool things, and J.D. Greer was our speaker. Guys, is there anything in particular? You guys were really sort of had a lot to say in creation and what was said, and some of you were impacted like on the spot. So is there something in particular that you remember from the first part that really stood out to you?
Well, the first thing that stood out to me was that the story is about God, not me. And I have to live my life around God. God is like the center of the solar system. He gave that example, J.D. Greer did, that he's the sun and we are the earth that revolves around him, not the sun revolving around the earth.
Good, John. What else? He's done. You got it.
One of them was, our hearts are restless until we rest, and that really stood out to me.
Anything else?
He said that God created us with blessing, J.D. Greer said that blessings cannot sustain life, only God. God needs to be the center of life, as Josh said. So you'll have things like that you're good at and that God blessed you with, so you can find joy in those, but you need to find complete joy in God, living your life for God.
Mm. Good, good. And the thing is in this particular time, what he covered with us was what Josh said, that God is the main character, not us. It's so easy to be selfish. It's so easy to say, I want to be in the center. I want to be the one in charge. I want to be in control. I want everything to revolve around me. You may even know at times you're in yourself, or maybe other people, where you're like, man, that guy thinks the solar system revolves around him. But that was the main part. And then to say that we were created for God, and that you were created in the image of God, and finally that the only one who brought nothing into something can bring life from death. Say that again. Only the one who brought nothing into something can bring life into death. Now, again, I know it seems kind of silly that we're saying a lot of stuff that they said, but these were things that impacted us while we were there, and we just want to be able to share that with you. So then we had the next day, that was Sunday night, the next day we had separation. And I got to be honest with you, and I think the students would say the same thing. This one and the evening, which was what? Silence, yeah. Were probably the hardest parts. Was that, am I right on that? Separation and silence, right? And then silence, yeah. So separation. What is it about separation? Why did he even talk about separation? Olivia?
He pointed out that there's different kinds of separation. There's God, man, and self. And if you are separated from yourself, if you don't know who you are, then how are you supposed to have a relationship with God? So you have to come to yourself, identify yourself, relationship with yourself, with God. It's all connected, goes together. Can't have one without.
What else?
Well, one thing about separation, what causes the separation is sin, and Reed Capel, the speaker, he said that if we don't understand sin, we can't understand the Bible. And he said that sin is a direct attack on God and his glory and his creation. And also, I don't know if J.D. said it or if Reed Capel said it, that sin is taking God out of the center of our life and placing something else there, be it ourself, be it an idol like money or our job or whatever.
Other thoughts on separation?
One more thing. I don't know if this is or if it was a different night, but one thing that stood out to me maybe the most is they talked about sin and the evil that causes sin, but the one speaker had a very interesting thing that he pointed out, that sin is not, most people think of good and complete opposites, but sin is not the opposite of good. It's the opposite of good, because it's not just, I'm going to go do bad. It's not just being bad, it's that you mess good. You're taking good out of the world by sin.
That's good, yeah. That one of the things that stood out in particular, and then I think the students caught too, was our problem stops with symptom and not the root. We automatically look at the symptoms. How many of you take a pill when you have some sort of problem, like I got a headache or I got a fever or I got a, oh, my leg hurts or whatever? Even with the struggles that Tony had with his knee, all we could really do is what? Give you some Motrin or some Tylenol. But we were treating the symptom. We weren't able to fix the problem. We weren't able to get to the root of the issue. And too often, we find ourselves in that very place. We're trying to fix the symptoms. We're not addressing the real root of the issue in our lives. And I think that for the students, that was definitely something that was brought out. Now, the end of that day was probably what I would say the most uncomfortable time for any of the students. Approximately 10 minutes of silence. If I can, as promised. Oh, you're right. I'll stop. I'll move on. We'll go to promise. Let me go back to that. So we got to the promise that night. Thank you very much. You're right. And the promise comes through Abram. And the fact that he promises through Abram that he'll make Abram a man of many nations and he'll bless him. For you guys, the promise, the idea of that, how did that stand out to you? What things came to mind for you guys in that?
Well, one of them was nothing will restore your heart except for God in this world.
Okay.
One thing that they displayed on the screen that I wrote down, the power of God's kept promise is strong enough to restore our hearts that have been shattered by the broken promises we've endured in life. The only real promises that you can be sure that will be kept are God's promises.
I liked what he said. He said, God finds us when we're faithless. And he also said it kind of connects to God fellowships with us when we've failed. And that's definitely true in my life and all of our lives when sometimes we just feel disconnected from God and going through things. And then God still comes to us and helps us out. And he also said, God's promise does not remove our problems. God gives problems to remind us of our promise. Yeah, of our promise with him. Yeah, I thought that was good because when you face the problems and you face the temptations, it makes you think and you realize, I promise with God, I need to remember that and be faithful.
To add on to that, he also said, God follows through with us when we forget him.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Okay. So we talked about the promise. One of the things that was probably most incredible was there is no plan B for God's sovereignty. And yes, it's purposely meant to rhyme like that. The man that spoke in this particular time was D.A. Horton, comes out of a more urban environment and has sort of a style about him, if you will, that the students really enjoyed. He took particular moments where he made sure that he broke it down for them and shared those sorts of things with him. And so after that promise, as we moved on, we moved into silence. I don't know that any of us are really good at silence. On the screen, they had words that were being put up there. But that's the only thing that was actually actively going on while the students were sitting in silence. The idea behind the silence is that for 400 years after the prophets come, we wait for what? For Christ. And they wait. And we broke this down a little bit. 400 years, how is that? You expecting to last 400 years? No. We're not expecting to last 400 years. And so we tried to even comprehend that in our minds as to maybe somebody was born and died in that time frame and still didn't see the promise of God through Christ, his son, being born. Bottom line is as we reach that point, guys, how were you feeling at that point in this week? What was going on knowing that there was a period where you had to actually sit silently and think of all the stuff that you've already gotten.
I think I have a struggle for the silence, but then in a way it was powerful. You have over 5,000 people and it's actually death silent. It's like, how do all these silent time? And it was kind of powerful in that way. And then also with the words they had going across the street and everything, they pointed out to us, a silence is not a bad thing. There are lots of different silence. In some ways it can be, you know, scary. It's like the pause right before something bad happened, a scary movie or something. But then it's also like a couple in love, they can look at each other just in silence and still feel the love. So it doesn't mean that it's something bad or something we need to be afraid of, and that we can embrace, appreciate.
Not only just the silence, but sometimes I think one of the things that was said was silence creates doubt. And doubt isn't necessarily a bad thing, as I learned it. They're a challenge that everyone has their doubts about God, what he's doing. But one point that was brought up is our faith is refined from through the furnace of doubts. That once we have our doubts and then we bring it to God and say, what's going on here? And he'll show us and say, I'm still here for you. And that just makes our faith that much stronger to know that he's still there through everything.
Okay, I think about silence is your left thought. In silence, sometimes that's scary.
With that said, God, is there anything in particular? Because at this point, we moved into actually making a... Some of our students actually stood to say, God, I'm not where I really feel like I need to be. I'm not 100% right with you. I know you, but I'm not living for you. Would any of you like to share testimony or anything at all as we kind of bring close? Is there anything we haven't touched on that to share?
Well, later throughout Challenge, there was speaker Jeff Vanderstelt. He taught us, like, rescued to live the story and rescued to tell the story. And one point that he brought up, that this is the most important thing to spread the gospel. It says, live a life that demands a gospel explanation and be prepared to give one. So that we live our life fully for Christ. People are going to get curious, what's so different about him? And then they'll ask, what's different about you that I don't have? And then right there's an opening to share Christ.
The same speaker, Jeff Vanderstelt, he said, don't make non-believers projects, just love them. So when you're trying to witness to someone, or when you're trying to tell people the gospel, or do good things for them, you're not trying to show love, or you're not trying to show Christ to them just because you want to win them over, just for another tally. You're doing it because you're wanting to show love. And often showing love will gain them more than just telling them all these things, because if you're telling them all these things and then living your life not for Christ, then they're going to be confused. I know what being a Christian really means. And he had a story where he was witnessing to an old lady, his neighbor, and he was trying to tell her and win her over, and it became a project to him, a goal just to win her over. And then God said that, told him that he needs to be proclaimer, proclaim his will, and he needs to let God work in her heart and not him, because he can't work in her heart. Only God can do that.
Any final thoughts? Anything in particular? I know not all of you have shared, but if there's anything else or anything else that you'd like to share with the church to let them know about as we tie this together, we wrap up.
Well, throughout this whole week, it was very emotional for all of us, extremely emotional because of the fact that God was churning in us in a way that we had to accept. It was like some of the nights, some of the speakers said stuff that we didn't necessarily like to hear, but we had to hear it. It was like, why did you say that? Now my brain, my heart, what's happening? And one full day, one of the days, like I cried like times. It was so hard. As you can tell, my voice hasn't been back either. So it was needed. It was very in a lot of.
For those who don't know, this is my daughter Sarah.
Hi.
Sarah actually lives in North Carolina. She's visiting with us for the summer. And she lives with her mom in North Carolina, and we asked her if she wanted the opportunity to go to Challenge, and after some conversation, she said yes. In that moment, she realized that during that time, I'm not where I want to be with God. And so she, amongst several other students, actually stood and said, I put a stake in the ground, here and now, and say, I want to live differently than I've lived before. Would that be fair to say? And for that, we're grateful, we're excited, we're thankful. And we rejoice in God. Amen? Amen. Anything else we'd like to share? Alex?
All right, well, I wrote like one thing per day, and I was wondering why I wrote Cocoa Puffs. And these guys know what I'm talking about.
I do.
And I don't know, I sort of wonder it about on Earth, like, oh, when I die, if I'm in heaven, you know, what's this going to be like? And one dude, he mentioned, I think it was Shane Stacy the last day. Yeah, he mentioned, if you like Cocoa Puffs so much and you think, oh, when I die, there will be like rivers of milk and then the trees will be growing Cocoa Puffs. And then he related it to, you think God or Jesus died for you to have Cocoa Puffs? And so it's like, what are we really going for?
Good. Other thoughts?
Who is this? Jeff Vanderstelt. He also said, when you're talking, if you're talking a lot about whatever, like, whenever you're talking about something a lot, that's often what you trust or you love the most. Mm. And when we don't talk and lift up God, and our love grows cold. So if someone's always talking about gaming, you can assume that they're probably centered around gaming instead of God. And then someone else is always talking about God, bringing up God, talking to others about God, then you can tell that God is the center of their life.
Amen. Let's close with that. Because I do want to take some time to do one other thing. Randy, would you like to come and share? We had two opportunities to do missions. Can somebody give him a microphone, please? To do missions. One was a prayer walk, and the other was we were taking care of a park. So Randy's going to share a little bit about what we did at that.
So you heard about the great ways that these students were ministered to, and we're so thankful for that. But they also had a chance to minister to Kansas City. And one of those ways was 45 different locations were visited around Kansas City. 45 different places, parks, homes. There was cleanup. There were repairs, painting, prayer walks, just masses of students going out to these different locations that were planned and organized. Our group went to a town called Peculiar, Missouri, and there's a new church plant there, and there's also a new church plant right in Kansas City that had more of an urban focus. But where we went, the church was just a fresh plant, had been open for like 2 months, and so they were having a special event today, inviting the community to come to a fun event, and so we were part of handing out invitations to this event. We went down four or five streets doing a prayer walk and handing out invitations, and our students were able to talk with people in neighborhoods and invite them to this event. And then they were challenged to ask the people they ran into, is there anything we can pray for you about? And how many people were able to pray with someone? I think most of our students were able to pray with the people, and that was so neat to see groups of people up and down this long street of nice houses and boats and dogs barking and their students praying with a homeowner. It's really neat. And one of the last places I stopped and talked with someone, it was a young man, and they had actually lost a baby recently. So he asked to pray for him and his wife because they, just like 2 weeks ago, are still going through this loss. And he even said, we're thinking about looking for a church. So the address of the church, a postcard, I'm just praying that they will be able to get hooked up with this church and find healing and restoration in their life. So these students were a part of reaching these people. But it wasn't only Kansas City. They reached beyond that. There was some missions focuses there. One was called Global Fingerprints, and you've heard of this before because Kelly Gray shared about it and other people have shared about it. But 48 children were sponsored because of this event, and they raised $5,000 to go towards a ministry in Berlin. They learned about what a challenge it is in Berlin. Prostitution was legalized there in 2006, and the numbers are just astonishing and sad, and they were hit with all these heartbreaking statistics. So I think their hearts were open to pray for the ministry that goes on across the world, as well as in our own hometowns, they could have an effect on people. So maybe we'll just, do you mind if I pray for some of these different ministries that they were able to be involved in? And let's do that. Our Father God, we thank you for the way you work and the way you can use young people on up through people who are retired. We just pray for the church in Peculiar, Missouri, that is trying to reach out to this neighborhood. I pray that the people who came in contact with our students and others would be drawn into the community of the church there, as well as the urban church that was ministered to. I pray that they would grow and that lost would be saved. We thank you also for the way you're working in metropolitan cities around the world where there is so much sin and brokenness. Lord, we pray that you would use those who are willing to go and those who are willing to give. I pray that those funds would help the work go forward, that lives can be restored in relationship with you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
One of our students, well, two of our students are with us. One of our students in particular, Taylor, is actually wrote something up to share with.
Well, this is what Ethan wrote. I guess it's kind of like a testimony. He wrote, "Just because God is not speaking does not mean he's not moving. In other words, just because we can't hear God does not mean he's not working in and through us. Challenge 2014 has taught me that." That's something that Reed Kappel said. As I began my junior year in high school, I would always cry out to God, "Where are you? Do something. Use me." I would always just hear silence. Throughout the year, God began placing new friends in my life and some stronger relationships with others that started to mold me to have a deep passion for God. At Challenge, God revealed to me he was moving. God also broke the silence at Challenge, and not through the worship or speakers or my peers, but through a man, and you might know him, Pastor Peter. As we stood in line for about an hour and a half waiting to meet Ren Collective, talking about the week so far and the worship, this conversation grew into me, sharing my heart and my passion I have deeply had for God and worship and people. I began to see God using Peter speaking to me, saying, "Ethan, I know you're stressed about the future and what you're going to do with your life after senior year, but don't worry because I want you to work for me and give yourself so you can help build my kingdom." God spoke through Pastor Peter and gave me a call to advance the gospel in some way. Whether that's by becoming a pastor, youth pastor, worship leader, missionary, or whatever. I know God wants me to devote my life to him. I don't know exactly what God's plan is for my life, but I realize it's to do his will, and that's enough for now. I ask that the church pray for me, that I join his story instead of God joining mine.